The Last Remembrancer, written by John French, read by Gareth Armstrong. In an age of darkness, the truth must die. Words of a forgotten scholar of ancient terror. They murdered the intruder ship on the edge of the solar system. It spun through space, a kilometre-long barb of crenellated metal, trailing the burning vapours of its death like the tatters of a shroud. Like lions running down a crippled prey, two golden-hulled strike vessels bracketed the dying ship. Each was a blunt slab of burnished armour thrust through space on cones of star-hot fire. They carried weapons that could level cities and held companies of the finest warriors. Their purpose was to kill any enemy who dared to enter the realm they guarded. This star system was the seat of the Emperor of Mankind, the heart of an imperium betrayed by its brightest sun. There could be no mercy in this place. The ship had appeared without warning and without the correct identification signals. Its only future was to die in sight of the sun that had lit the birth of humanity. Explosions flared across the intruder ship's hull, its skin splitting with ragged wounds that spilled dying crew and molten metal into the void. The two hunters silenced their guns and spat boarding torpedoes into the intruder's flanks. The first armoured dart punctured the ship's command decks, its assault ramps exploding open and disgorging amber-yellow armoured warriors in a roar of fire. Each boarding torpedo carried 20 imperial fists of the Legiones Astartes, genetically enhanced warriors, clad in powered armour, who knew no fear or pity. Their enemy bore marks of loyalty to Horus, the Emperor's son who had turned on his father and thrust the Imperium into civil war. Red eyes with slit pupils, snarling beast heads and jagged, eight-pointed stars covered the hull of the ship and the flesh of its crew. The air had a greasy quality, a meat stink that penetrated the imperial fist-sealed armour as they shot and hacked deeper into the ship. Blood dripped from their amber-yellow armour and tatters of flesh hung from their chain blades. There were thousands of crew on the ship, dreg ratings, servitors, command crew, technicians and armsmen. There were only 100 imperial fists facing them, but there would be no survivors. 22 minutes after boarding the ship, the Imperial fists found the sealed doors. They were over 3 times the height of a man and as wide as a battle tank. They did not know what was inside, but that did not matter. Anything kept so safe must have been of great value to the enemy. 4 melter charges later, a glowing hole had been bored through 2 meters of metal. The breach still glowing cherry red, the first Imperial fist moved through, bolt pistol raised, tracking for targets. The space beyond was a bare chamber, tall and wide enough to take 6 land raiders side by side. The air was still, untouched by the rank haze that filled the rest of the ship, as if it had been kept separate and isolated. There were no jagged stars scratched into the metal of the floor, no red eyes set into the walls. At first it seemed empty, and then they saw the figure at the centre of the room. They advanced, red target runes in their helmet displays pulsing over the hunched man in grey. He sat on the floor, the discarded remains of food and crumpled parchment scattered around him. Thick chains led from bolts in the deck to shackles around his thin ankles. On his lap was a pile of yellow parchment. His hand held a crude quill made from a spar of metal. Its tip was black. The sergeant of the Imperial Fist boarding squad walked to within a blade swing of the man. More warriors spread out into the echoing chamber, weapons pointing in at him.
"Who are you?"
asked the sergeant, his voice growling from his helmet speaker grill.
"I am the Last Remembrancer," said the man.
The nameless fortress hid from the sun on the dark side of Titan, as if turning its face from the light. A kilometer-wide disk of stone and armour, it hung in the void above the yellow moon. Reflected light from the bloated sphere of Saturn caught in the tops of its weapon towers, spilling jagged shadows across its surface. It had been a defence station, part of the network that protected the approaches to Terra. Now the treachery of Horus had given it a new purpose. Here, in isolated cells, suspected traitors and turncoats were kept and bled of their secrets. Thousands of jailers kept its inmates alive until they were of no further use, until the questioners were finished with them. There were countless questions that demanded an answer, and its cells were never empty. Rogel Dorn would be the first Primarch to set foot in the Nameless Fortress. It was not an honour he relished. "Vile," said Dorn, watching as the void fortress grew nearer on a view screen. He sat on a metal flight bench, the knuckles of his armoured gauntlet beneath his chin. The inside compartment of the Stormbird attack craft was dark, the light from the view screen casting the Primarch's face in corpse-cold light. Dark eyes set above sharp cheekbones, a nose that cut down in line with the slope of the forehead, a down-turned mouth framed by a strong jaw. It was a face of perfection, set in anger and carved from stone.
"It is unpleasant, but it is necessary, my lord," said a voice from the darkness behind Dorn.
It was a low, deep voice, weighted with age. The Primarch did not turn to look at the person who spoke, a grey presence standing on the edge of the light. There were just the two of them, alone in the crew compartment. Rogel Dorn commanded the defence of Terra and millions of troops, but came to this place with only one companion.
"Necessary. I have heard that often recently," growled Dorn, not looking away from the waiting fortress.
Behind Dorn, the shadowed figure shifted forwards. Cold electric light fell across a face crossed by lines of age and scars of time. Like the Primarch, the figure wore armour, light catching its edges but hiding its colour in shadow.
"The enemy is inside us, Lord. It does not only march against us on the battlefield, it walks amongst us," said the old warrior. "Trust is to be feared in this war, then, Captain?" asked Dorn, his voice like the growl of distant thunder.
"I speak the truth as I see it," said the old warrior.
"Tell me, if it had not been my imperial fists that found him, would I have known that Solomon Voss had been brought here?"
He turned away from the screen and looked at the old warrior with eyes that had vanished into pits of shadow.
"What would have happened to him?"
The flickering blue light of the view screen spilled over the old warrior. Grey armour without mark or rank, the hilt of a double-handed sword visible from where it projected above his shoulders. The light glittered across the ghost of a sigil on the grey of his shoulder guard.
"The same as must happen now. The truth must be found, and after that, whatever the truth demands, must be done," said the old warrior.
He could feel the Primarch's emotions radiating out from him, the violence chained behind a facade of stone.
"I've seen my brothers burn worlds we created together, sent my sons against my brothers' sons. I have unmade the heart of my father's empire and clad it in iron. You think I wish to avoid the realities that face us?"
The old warrior waited a heartbeat before replying,
"Yet you come here, my lord. You come to see a man who, in all likelihood, has been corrupted by Horus and the powers that cradle him."
Rogel Dorn did not move, but the old warrior could feel the danger in that stillness, like a lion poised for the kill.
"Have a care," said Dorn,
in a whisper like a sword sliding from a scabbard.
"Trust is a weakness in our armour, Lord," said the warrior, looking directly at the Primarch.
Dorn stepped forwards, his eyes deliberately tracing the bare grey surfaces of armour that should have displayed Legion heraldry.
"A strange sentiment from you, Yakdon Cruz," said Dorn.
The old warrior nodded slowly, remembering the ideals and broken oaths that had brought him to this point in time. He had once been a captain in the Lunar Wolves Legion, the Legion of Horus. He was almost the last of his kind, and he had nothing left but his oath to serve the Emperor, and the Emperor alone. I have seen the price of blind trust, my lord. Trust must be proved.
And because of that we must throw the ideals of the Imperium to the flames, said Dorn, leaning close to Cruz.
Such focus from a Primarch would have forced most mortals to their knees. Cruz held Dorn's gaze without faltering. He knew his role in this. He had made an oath of moment that he would stand watch over Rogel Dorn's judgment. His duty was to balance that judgment with questions.
You have intervened, and so the judgment on this man is yours. He lives at your word, said Cruz. What if he is innocent? Snapped Dorn.
Cruz gave a weary smile.
That proves nothing, my lord. If he is a threat, he must be destroyed.
Is that what you are here to do? Said Dorn, nodding at the hilt of the sword on Cruz's back.
To play judge, jury, and executioner.
I am here to help you in your judgment. I do this for the Sigillite. This is his domain, and I am his hand in this.
An expression that might have been distaste ghosted across Dorn's face as he turned his back on Cruz. On the viewscreen, the side of the nameless fortress filled the screen,
a toothed set of doors opening to greet them like a waiting mouth.
Cruz could see a vast loading bay beyond, lit by bright light. Hundreds of troops in gloss-red armour and silver-visored helmets waited in ranks, filling the docking bay floor. These were the jailers of the Nameless Fortress. They never showed their faces and had no names. Each was simply a number. Amongst them, the hunched figures of the questioners stood in loose clusters, their faces hidden by hoods, fingers augmented with needles and blades protruding from the sleeves of their red robes. The Stormbird settled on the deck with a purr of an anti-gravity field. Ice beaded its sleek body and wings as the warm air met void cold metal. With a pneumatic hiss, the ramp opened beneath the Stormbird's nose, and Rogel Dorn walked into the stark light. He shone, the light reflecting from the burnished gold of his armour, glittering from rubies clutched in the claws of silver eagles. A black cloak, lined in red and edged in ivory, fell from his shoulders. As one, every person in the docking bay knelt, the deck ringing with the impact of a thousand knees. Rogel Dorn strode through the kneeling ranks without a glance. Behind him, Yakdon Cruz followed in his ghost-grey armour, like a shadow in the sun's wake. At the end of the ranks of Crimson Guards, three figures knelt and waited. Each wore armour the same gloss-red as the kneeling guards, their bowed heads encased by masks of tarnished silver. These were the key-keepers of the Nameless Fortress. Cruz was one of the few people to have ever seen their faces.
Ave Praetorian,
called one of the bowed figures in a booming electronic voice. With one voice, every kneeling human echoed the call. The Primarch spoke over the fading echoes.
Take me to the Remembrancer, Solomon Voss.
The man was writing when the cell door opened. The light from the glow globe above him created a murky yellow halo that cast all but the makeshift desk and the man into shadow. Thin shoulders hunched over a sheet of parchment, a quill in a thin hand scratching out black words. He did not look up. Rogel Dorn stepped into the cell. He had removed his armour and wore a black tabard held around the waist with a belt of gold braid. Even without his battle plate, he seemed to strain the dark metal walls of the cell with his presence. Cruz followed, still in his grey armour.
Solomon Voss, said Dorn in a soft tone.
The man looked up at them. He had a flat, handsome face, the skin smooth and lined only around the eyes. His steel-grey hair was pulled back into a ponytail that hung over the rough fabric covering his back. In the presence of a Primarch, many people would struggle to speak. The man nodded and gave a tired smile.
Hello, old friend, said Voss. I knew someone would come.
His eyes flicked to Cruz. Not alone, though, I see. Cruz felt the disdain in the words, but held his face impassive. Voss stared at him. I know your face from somewhere. Cruz did not reply. He knew who the man was, of course. Solomon Voss, author of The Edge of Illumination, witness to the first conquests of the Great Crusade, according to many, the finest wordsmith of the age. Cruz had met Voss once, long ago in a different age. So much had left its mark on Cruz since then that he was surprised his old face triggered even the weakest memory in this man. Voss nodded at the bare grey of Cruz's armour. The colours and markings of a legion were always a mark of pride. So what does unmarked grey imply? Shame, perhaps? Cruz kept his face emotionless. Such a remark would once have angered him. Now there was no false pride for it to cut. He had passed far beyond his lost life as a son of Horus or Lunar Wolf. Dawn looked at Cruz, his face unreadable, but his voice firm.
He is here to observe. That is all.
The silent hand of judgment, said Voss, nodding and turning back to the sheet of parchment. The quill began to scratch again. Dawn pulled a metal-framed chair close to the desk and sat, the chair creaking under his weight.
I am your judge, Remembrancer, said Dawn, in a low voice tinged with a tone that Cruz could not place.
Voss did not reply, but completed a line of lettering. He made a low, half-whistling noise as he paused over a word. Cruz thought he could see feelings play over the Remembrancer's face, a twinge of apprehension and defiance. Then, with a flourish, the quill completed a line, and Voss placed it on the desk. He nodded at the drying words and smiled. Done. In all honesty, I think it is my best work. I flatter myself that you would not find its equal amongst the works of the ancients. He turned to look at Dawn. Of course, no one will ever read it. Dawn gave a half-smile, as if he had not heard the last remark, and nodded at the pile of parchment on the desk.
They let you have parchment and quill, then?
Yes, sighed Voss. I wish I could say it was kind of them, but I rather think they hope to scour it for secrets afterwards. They can't quite believe I am telling the truth, you see, but they also can't stop hoping that I am. The information on your brother, you see. I can feel their hunger for it. Cruz saw the slightest tightening in Dawn's face at the mention of his brother.
You have been questioned? Asked Dawn.
Yes, but the heavy stuff has not started. Not yet. Voss gave a humorless laugh. But I have a feeling that it was not far off, until they stopped asking questions and just left me here. Voss raised an eyebrow. That was your doing?
I was not going to let the great Solomon Voss disappear into an interrogation cell, said Dawn.
I'm flattered, but there are many more prisoners here, thousands, I think. Voss was looking around at the metal walls of his cell as if he could see through them. I can hear the screams sometimes. I think they want us to hear them. They probably think it makes us easier to question.
Voss's voice trailed away.
This man is broken, thought Cruz. Something within him has died and left only a half-life.
Dawn leaned towards Voss. You were more than a remembrancer, said Dawn. Remember?
I was something once. He nodded, still staring into the darkness. Once, back before Ulanor, when there were no remembrances, when they were just an idea.
Voss shook his head and looked down at the parchment in front of him.
It was quite an idea.
Dawn nodded, and Cruz saw the ghost of a smile on the Primarch's normally grim face. Your idea, Solomon. A thousand artists sent out to reflect the truth of the Great Crusade. An idea worthy of the Imperium.
Voss gave a weak smile. Flattery again, Rogel Dawn. Not completely my idea, as you must remember.
Dorn nodded, and Cruz heard a note of passion in Voss's voice. "I was just a wordsmith tolerated amongst the powerful because I could turn their deeds into words that could spread like fire." Voss's eyes shone as if reflecting the light of bright memories. "Not like the iterators. Not like Cinderman and the rest of his manipulating ilk. The imperial truth did not need manipulation. It needed reflecting out into the Imperium through words and images and sounds." He broke off and looked at the black ink stains on his thin fingers. "At least, I thought so then."
"You were right," said Dorn,
and Cruz saw the conviction flow into the Primarch's face.
"I remember the manuscripts you presented to the Emperor at Zuritz, written by you and illuminated by Askarid Shah. They were beautiful and true."
Dorn was nodding slowly, as if trying to tease a response from Voss, who was still looking at his hands.
"The petition to create an order of artists to witness, record, and reflect the light of truth spread by the Great Crusade. An order of people to be the Imperium's memory of its foundation. That was what you argued was needed. And you were right."
Voss nodded slowly. Then he looked up, and there was a hollow look in his eyes. It was the look of someone thinking about what they had lost, thought Cruz. He knew. He had worn it himself in many dark hours in recent years.
"Yes, fine times," said Voss. "When the Council of Terror ratified the creation of the Order of Remembrances, for a moment I thought I knew what you and your brothers must have felt, seeing your sons bringing illumination to the galaxy."
He gave a dismissive snort.
"But you are not here to flatter, Rogel Dorn. You are here to judge."
"You vanished," said Dorn in the same soft tone he had begun with. "In the moments after the betrayal, you vanished. Where have you been?"
Voss did not answer for a second.
"I have been telling the truth since your sons took me from that ship," he said, and looked at Cruz. "I am sure it is in their mission accounts."
Cruz stayed silent. He knew what Voss had said to the Imperial fists that found him, what he had been saying to his interrogators ever since. He knew, and Rogel Dorn would know. But the Primarch said nothing. The silence waited until Voss looked at Dorn and said what the Primarch had been waiting for.
"I have been with the War Master."
Yakdon Cruz kept his distance as the Primarch watched the stars turn above him. They were in an observation cupola, a blister of crystal glass on the upper surface of the nameless fortress. Above them, Saturn hung, its bands of muddy colour reminding Cruz of fat running through meat. Dorn had cut short the questioning of Solomon Voss, saying that he would return soon. He had said to Cruz that he needed to think. So they had come here to think, beneath the light of the stars and the eye of Saturn. Cruz thought that Dorn had hoped that Voss would deny his earlier claim that he would find a reason to set him free.
"He is as I remember him," said Dorn suddenly, still gazing out at the scatter of stars. "Older, worn, but still the same. No sign of corruption, to my eyes."
"I must do my duty," thought Cruz, "even though it is like stabbing a blade into an unhealed wound." He took a deep breath before speaking.
"No, my lord, but perhaps you see what you want to see."
The Primarch did not move, but Cruz sensed the shift in atmosphere, a charge of danger in the cold air.
"You presume too much, Yakdon Cruz," said the Primarch in a low growl.
Cruz took a careful step closer to Dorn and spoke in a level voice.
"I presume nothing. I have nothing but one unbroken oath. That oath means I must say these things."
The Primarch turned and straightened so that Cruz had to look up into his face.
"Even to you, Lord." "You have more to say," growled Dorn. "Yes. I must remind you that the enemy is subtle and has many weapons.
We can protect against them only with suspicion. Solomon Voss might be as you remember him. Perhaps he is the same man. Perhaps. Cruz let the word hang in the air. But perhaps is not enough. Do you believe his claim? That he was with Horus all this time? I believe the facts. Voss has been amongst the enemy, whether willingly or as a captive. He was on a ship enslaved to Horus that bore the marks of the enemy. The rest could be... a story. Dawn was nodding, a grim expression on his face. He was the greatest teller of stories that I have ever known. There are billions in the Imperium that only know of our deeds by the words he wrote. You think that he is spinning a tale now? Cruz shook his head. I do not know, Lord. I am not here to judge. I am here to question. Then do your duty and question. Cruz took a breath and began to count off points, raising a finger for each one. Why did he go to Horus if he is not a traitor? Horus slaughtered the rest of the remembrances when he purged the legions. Why would he keep one of them alive? When Dawn did not interrupt, Cruz continued, and an enemy ship, with a single man held safe within it, does not drift into the solar system alone. He paused for a second, thinking of the thing that worried him most. Dawn was still looking at him, silently absorbing Cruz's words. It was not accident. He was returned to us. Dawn nodded, forming Cruz's worry into a question. And if he was, why? Why did you go to Horus? Asked Rogel Dawn. They were back in the cell. Solomon Voss sat by his desk with Rogel Dawn opposite him and Cruz standing by the door. Voss took a sip of spiced tea from a battered metal cup. He had asked for it, and Dawn had assented. The remembrancer swallowed slowly and licked his lips before beginning. I was on Hattusa with the 817th Fleet when I heard that Horus had rebelled against the Emperor. I could not believe it at first. I tried to think of reasons why, to put it into some form of context, to make some sense of it. I could not. But when I realized that I could not make sense of it, I knew what I needed to do. I needed to see the truth with my own eyes. I would witness it, and I would make sense of what I saw. Then I would put it into words so that others could share my understanding. Dawn frowned.
You doubted that Horus was a traitor?
No, but I was a remembrancer, the greatest remembrancer. It was our duty to make sense of great events in art. I knew that others would doubt or would not believe that the brightest son of the Imperium could turn against it. If it was true, I wanted that truth shouted from the works of as many remembrancers as possible. Cruz saw the passion and fire flash through Voss's face. For a moment the tiredness was gone, and the man's conviction shone from him.
You take much on yourself to make sense of something that is senseless, said Dawn.
Remembrancers made what happened in the Great Crusade real. Without us, who would remember any of it? Dawn shook his head gently.
A war between the legions is not a place for artists.
And the other types of wars we had been recording, were they more suitable? When all that had been built up by you, by us, had been plunged into doubt, where else should I have been? I was a remembrancer. It was my duty to witness this war. Voss put his cup of spiced tea down on his desk. I had started to make plans to get to Istvan V by calling in favours and contacts. Voss's mouth twisted as if chewing bitter words. Then the Edict of Dissolution came through. The remembrances were no more by the order of the Council of Terror. We were to be removed and dissolved back into mundane society. Those already amongst the war fleets were no longer to be allowed to record events. Cruz could feel the bitterness in the man's words. In the wake of the news of Horus's betrayal, many things had changed in the Imperium. One of these changes had been the removal of official backing for the remembrances. With a stroke of a pen, the remembrances had been no more. Better that than what could have become of them, thought Cruz. The image of men and women dying under the guns of his former brothers flicked across his mind. An age ago, but no time at all, he thought. He blinked, and the cell snapped back into sharp reality.
But you did not obey, said Dawn.
I was angry, spat Voss. I was the father of the Order of Remembrances. I had witnessed the centuries of the Great Crusade since it began on Terra. I had looked on demigods and the scattering of blood amongst the stars that has been the birth of the Imperium. He raised his hand as if gesturing to stars and planets above them. I made those events real to minds that will never see them. I bound them in words so that those wars will echo into the future. In millennia to come, there will be children who listen or read and will feel the weight of these times in my words. He snorted. We remembrancers served illumination and truth, not the whim of a council of bureaucrats. Voss shook his head. His lip curled for a moment, and then he blinked. Ascarid was with me, he said quietly. She said that it was an impossible idea, dangerous and driven by ego. A pilgrimage of hubris, she called it. He smiled and closed his eyes for a moment, floating in lost happiness. Cruz knew the name Ascarid Shah, illuminator and calligraphist. She had lettered Voss's work into scrolls and tomes as beautiful as his words.
Your collaborator?
Asked Cruz, the question slipping out of his lips. Dawn shot him a hard look. Yes, she was my collaborator in every sense. Voss sighed and looked at the dregs of tea in his cup. We argued for days, he said quietly. We argued until it was clear that I was not going to change my mind. I knew it was possible to get to Istvan V. I had contacts throughout the fleets, on both sides of the war. I knew I could do it. Voss paused, staring into space, as if someone stood there looking back at him from a lost past. Dawn said nothing, but waited. After a few moments, Voss spoke, a catch in his voice. Ascarid came with me, even though I think she feared how it would end.
And how did it end?
Asked Dawn. Voss looked back at the Primarch, his eyes still wide with memory. Isn't that what you are here to decide, Rogel Dawn?
He was right about the Edict of Dissolution, said Dawn.
Voss had asked to sleep, and Dawn had permitted it. He and Cruz had returned to the Dome of Crystal beneath the starfield. Cruz could feel the leaden mood of the Primarch as he stood looking at the stars.
The end of the remembrances?
Said Cruz, raising an eyebrow and looking up at Dawn.
You think that they should be allowed to wander through this war, recording our shame in paintings and songs?
There was a pause. Cruz expected another growl of rebuke, but Dawn showed no emotion other than in the slow breath exhaling from his nose.
I had my doubts when the Council ratified the edict, said Dawn. The position as presented at the time was perfectly logical. We are at war with ourselves. We do not know how far the treachery of my brother spreads. This is not a time to allow a menagerie of artists to walk freely amongst our forces. This is not a war to be reflected in poetry. I understand that.
But beyond logic... You had doubts, said Cruz.
He felt that he suddenly understood why Rogel Dawn, Praetorian of Terra, had come to see an old remembrancer in a prison cell.
Not doubts. Sorrow.
Dawn turned, pointing out at the stars beyond the crystal glass.
We went out into those stars to wage war for a future of enlightenment. We took the best artists with us, so that they could reflect that truth. Now our battles go unremembered and unrecorded. What does that tell us?
Dawn let his hand fall.
It is a practicality of the situation we face. The survival of the truth that we fought for makes demands that must be met, said Cruz.
Demands that must be wrapped in silence and shadow. Deeds done that must remain unremembered and unjudged.
Dawn began to walk away from the glass, his steps raising dust from the floor.
Survival or obliteration, that will be history's judgment on us, said the grey warrior.
Dawn turned to stare at Cruz, the ghost of anger on his face.
And the only way is for the Imperium to become a cruel machine of iron and blood, said the Primarch in a hard-edged whisper.
The future will have a price, said Cruz, not moving from the viewport.
Dawn was silent. For an instant, Cruz thought he saw a flicker of despair in the Primarch's eyes. Behind him, the planets of the solar system glittered as cold points of light beyond the towers of the nameless fortress.
What will we become, Yakton Cruz? What will the future allow us to be? Said Dawn,
and walked away without looking back.
When we reached Istvan V, the massacre was complete, continued Voss. I never got the chance to see this surface, but the void around it sparkled with debris. I watched it drift past the viewport of my stateroom. Fragments still cooling, fires feeding on oxygen trapped in wrecks.
Dawn nodded, his face unreadable as he listened to the Remembrancer's story. Something had changed in the Primarch after their return from the observation deck. It was as if he had begun to wall something up inside him. It reminded Cruz of the gates of a citadel grinding shut before the advance of an enemy. If Voss noticed, he did not show it.
They came for us, the sons of Horus. It was not until I saw them that I began to think that I had misunderstood this civil war.
Voss glanced at Cruz, and the old warrior felt an ice-cold touch in his guts.
Metal, sea-green metal, edged with bronze and covered with red slit eyes. Some had dried blood flaking from their armour. There were heads hanging on chains and by bunches of hair. They reeked of iron and blood. They said to come with them. Only one person asked why. I wish I could remember her name, but at the time I just wanted her to be quiet. One of them walked over to her and pulled her arms from her body and left her, screaming on the floor. We went with them after that.
Voss paused, his eyes unfocused, as if seeing the woman die again in her own blood.
Cruz found his hands had clenched, angry questions surging through his mind. Which one had it been? Which one of his former brothers had done that deed? One that he knew? One he had liked? He thought of the moment when he had learnt the truth about the men he had called brothers. The past can still wound us, he thought. He let out a quiet breath, releasing the pain. He must listen. For now, that was what he was here to do.
There were many remembrancers with you? Asked Dawn.
Yes, said Voss with a shiver. I had persuaded a number of others to come with me. Other remembrancers who agreed we had a duty to show the truth of this darkening age. 21 came with me. There were others, too, taken from the ships of the legions who had only just showed their allegiance.
Voss licked his lips, his eyes wandering again.
What happened to them? Said Dawn.
We were taken to the audience chamber on the vengeful spirit. I had seen it once before, a long time before.
Voss made a small shake of his head.
It was not the same place. The viewport still looked out on the stars like a vast eye, and the walls still tapered to darkness above. But things hung from the ceiling on chains, dried, mutilated things that I did not want to look at. Ragged banners, splattered with dark stains, covered the metal walls. It was hot, like the inside of a cave beside a fire pit. The air stank of hot metal and raw meat. I could see the sons of Horus standing at the edge of the room, still waiting. And at the centre of it all was Horus. I think I still thought I would see the pearl-white armour, the ivory cloak, and the face of a friend.
I looked at him, and he was looking at me, right at me. I wanted to run, but I could not. I could not move to breathe. I could only stare back at that face, framed by armour the colour of an ocean storm. He pointed at me and said, "All but that one. His sons did the rest." 3 seconds of thunder and blood. When it was quiet, I was on the deck on my hands and knees. Blood was pooling around my fingers. There was just blood and pulped meat all around me. The only thing I could think of was that Ascarid had been stood beside me. I felt her hand around mine just before the shooting started. Voss closed his eyes, his hands held together in his lap. Cruz found that he could not look away from those ink-stained hands, the skin wrinkled, the fingers gripped together as if clutching a memory.
"But he kept you alive," said Dorn, his voice as flat and hard as a hammer falling on stone.
Voss looked up, his eyes meeting the Primarch's. "Oh, yes. Horus spared me. He walked to stand above me. I could feel his presence, that chained ferocity, like a furnace's heat. 'Look at me,' he said, and I did. He smiled. 'I remember you, Solomon Voss,' he said. 'I have cleansed my fleets of your kind, all but you. You I will keep. No one will harm you. You will see everything.'" He laughed. "'You will be a remembrancer,' he said.
"'And what did you do?' asked Dorn.
"'I did the only thing I could. I was a remembrancer. I watched every bloody moment, heard the words of hate, smelt the stink of death and folly. I think for a time I went mad.' Voss chuckled. "'But then I realized what the truth of this age is. I found the truth I had come to see.'
"'What truth is that, remembrancer?' said Dorn, and Cruz could hear the danger in the words, like an edge on a blade.
Voss gave a small laugh, as if at a child's foolish question. "'That the future is dead, Rogel Dorn. It is ashes running through our hands.' Dorn was on his feet before Cruz could blink. Rage radiated from him like the heat of a fire. Cruz had to steady himself as Dorn's emotion filled the room like an expanding thundercloud.
"'You lie!'
roared the Primarch, in a voice that had cowed armies. Cruz waited for the blow to land, for the remembrance had been nothing more than bloody flesh on the floor. No blow came. Voss shook his head. Cruz wondered at what the man must have seen to make this Primarch's rage blow over him as if it were a gust of wind.
"'I have seen what your brother has become,'
said Voss, carefully measuring his words.
"'I have looked your enemy in the eye. I know what must happen.'
"'Horus will be defeated,' spat Dorn.
"'Yes, yes, perhaps he will. But I still speak the truth. It is not Horus that will destroy the future of the Imperium. It is you, Rogel Dorn. You and those that stand with you.'
Voss nodded to Cruz. Dorn leant down so that he was looking the man in the eye.
"'We will rebuild the Imperium when this war is done.'
"'From what, Rogel Dorn? From what?'
sneered Voss, and Cruz saw the words hit Dorn like a blow.
"'The weapons of this age of darkness are silence and secrets, the enlightenment of imperial truth. Those were the ideals you fought for. But you cannot trust any more. And without trust, those ideals will die, old friend.'
"'Why do you say this?'
hissed Dorn.
"'I say it because I am a remembrancer. I reflect the truth of the times. The truth is not something this new age wants to hear.
I do not fear the truth.
Then let my words, Voss tapped his parchment, be heard by all. I have written it here, everything I saw, every dark and bloody moment.
Cruz thought of the words of Solomon Voss spreading through the Imperium, carried by the authority of their author and the power of their message. It would be like poison spreading through the soul of those resisting Horus.
You lie, said Dorne carefully,
as if the words were a shield.
We sit in a secret fortress built on suspicion, with a sword over my head, and you say I lie.
Voss gave a humorless laugh. Dorne let out a long breath and turned away from the Remembrancer.
I say that you have condemned yourself.
Dorne moved towards the door. Cruz made to follow, but Voss spoke from behind them.
I think I understand now why your brother kept me and then let me fall into your hands.
Dorne turned from the open cell door. Voss looked back at him, a weary smile on his face.
He knew that his brother would want to save me as a relic of the past, and he knew that I would never be allowed free after what I had seen.
Voss nodded, the smile gone from his face.
He wanted you to feel the ideals of the past dying in your hands. He wanted you to look it in the eye as you killed it. He wanted you to realize that you two are much alike still.
Rogel Dorne.
Bring me my armour, said
Rogel Dorne, and red-robed serfs scuttled from the darkness. Each bore a section of gold battle plate. Some pieces were so large and heavy that several had to carry them. Dorne and Cruz stood once more in the observation dome. The only light in the wide circular chamber was from the starfield above. Rogel Dorne had not spoken since he had left Voss in his cell, and Cruz had for once not dared to speak. Voss's words had shaken Cruz. No mad ranting or proclamation of Horus's greatness. No, this was worse. The Remembrancer's words had spread through him like ice forming in water. Cruz had fought it, contained it within the walls of his will, but it still clawed at his mind. What if Voss had spoken the truth? He wondered if it was a poison strong enough to burn the mind of a Primarch. Dorne had stood looking out at the stars for over an hour before he had asked for his armour. The serfs would normally have armoured Dorne, cladding him in his battle plate piece by piece. This time he armoured himself, pulling a hard skin of adamantium over his flesh, framing his stone-set face in gold. A war god rebuilding himself with his own hands. Cruz thought that the Primarch looked like a man preparing for his last battle.
He has been twisted, my lord, said Cruz softly,
and the Primarch paused, his bare right hand about to slot into a gauntlet worked in silver with eagle feathers.
Horus sent him here to wound and weaken you. He said as much himself. He speaks lies.
Lies, said the Primarch.
Cruz steeled himself and asked the question he had feared to ask since they had left Voss's cell.
You fear that he is right? That the ideals of truth and illumination are dead? Said Cruz, an edge of urgency to his voice.
As soon as he spoke, he did not want to know the answer. Dorne put his hand into the gauntlet, the seal snapping shut around the wrist. He flexed his metal-sheathed hand and looked at Cruz. There was a coldness in his eyes that made Cruz remember moonlight glinting from wolves' eyes in the darkness of lost winter nights.
No, Yakdon Cruz, said Dorne. I fear that they never existed at all.
The door to the cell opened, spilling the shadows of Rogel Dorne and Yakdon Cruz across the floor. Solomon Voss sat at his desk, facing the door, as if waiting for them. his last manuscript on the desk at his side. Rogel Dorn stepped in, the low light catching the edges of his armour. He looked, thought Cruz, like a walking statue of burnished metal. There were no sounds, other than the steps of the Primarch and the hum of the glow-globes. Cruz pulled the door shut behind them and moved to the side. Reaching behind his shoulder, he gripped the hilt of the sword sheathed at his back. The blade slid out of its scabbard with a whisper sound of steel. Forged by the finest warsmiths, at the command of Malkador, the Sigilite, regent of terror, its double-edged blade was as tall as a mortal man. Its silvered surface was etched with screaming faces, wreathed by serpents and weeping blood. It bore the name Tisiphon, in memory of a forgotten force of vengeance. Cruz rested the blade point down, his hands gripping the hilt level with his face. Voss looked up at the armoured figure of Rogel Dorn and nodded.
"I am ready," said Voss, and stood up, straightening his robe over his thin body, running a hand over his grey hair.
He looked at Cruz. "Is this your moment, Grey Watcher? That sword has waited for me."
"No," came the voice of Dorn. "I will be your executioner."
He turned to Cruz and held out his hand.
"Your sword, Yakton Cruz."
Cruz looked into the face of the Primarch. There was pain in Dorn's eyes, unendurable pain, locked behind walls of stone and iron, glimpsed for an instant through a crack. Cruz bowed his head so that he did not need to look at Dorn's face, and held the sword out, hilt first. Dorn took the sword with one hand, its size and weight seeming to shrink as he took it. He brought it up between him and Solomon Voss. The sword's power field activated with a crackle of bound lightning. The twitching glow of the blade cast the faces of both man and Primarch in death-pale light and folds of shadow.
"Good luck, old friend," said Solomon Voss,
and did not look away as the blade fell. Rogel Dorn stood for a moment, the blood pooling at his feet, the cell silent and still around him. He stepped towards the man's makeshift desk where the heap of parchment lay neatly stacked. With a flick, the power wreathing the blade vanished. Slowly, as if goading a poisonous serpent, Dorn turned the page with the tip of the deactivated blade. He scanned one line of text. "I have seen the future, and it is dead," it read. He let the blade drop to the floor with a clang and walked to the cell door. As it opened, he looked back at Cruz and pointed at the parchment and at the corpse on the floor.
"Burn it," said Rogel Dorn. "Burn it all."
The Last Remembrancer was written by John French and read by Gareth Armstrong. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. The work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited, 2011. All rights reserved.